Okay, we're back with my co-host Alan Green, CEO at Brand Communications, the company you know all about now after the first segment.
And I'm sorry for the shameless
point. And David Buick, senior market commentator for Panmure Gordon.
Good morning.
I'm sorry I overran.
Good morning.
I've only been waiting in the wings.
A joy to see you both. Hi there.
Right.
Hi, David.
David, FTSE, well, we had, well, actually, what's interesting, we had Friday up 3% on the FTSE, Monday up 2%. Surely it's got it all end in tears today.
Well, the other thing, of course, it was President's Day yesterday, wasn't it? So
yeah.
New York market shut, which always gives you a false market, only because it's unbelievably influential, aren't they? Mm. But you might have thought that with the Shanghai Composite up 3% this morning, but what was interesting was the Nikkei died on its feet. I mean, 2 hours before the close, it was up 2.2% or something, and ended up 0.25% or something. So it's very nervous out there.
Well, the chunky rises are normally in bear markets. They're not in bull markets. You don't have the biggest rise in 8 years in a bull market. That's a bear market rally, isn't it?
As I walked out of the office, I mean, this morning, just to give you an idea, Anglo American, all right, 82% has been trashed off its share price in the last 2 years. Up 5.5% this morning. Mark Cutifani gives a pretty good account of himself, saying we're going to sack thousands of people. We're going to just focus on these three
minerals. $3.4 billion of cost savings this year.
Yeah, and, you know, up it goes 5.5%. I walked out of the office down 5.7%. I mean, 11% swing round. I know it's out of the FTSE 100 or just about to go out. But that is phenomenal.
It is incredibly volatile. Anyway, as a stock, I mean, I track it during the day, and and it really is, it's all over the place. As we were saying the other week, like a horse.
Yeah, up and down. Yeah,
but how can a mining company make money in these conditions with, you know, the deflation and the China out of the game and just, you know, and overcapacity? How, you know, is it, you know, it's very tempting.
Having foresight and being ruthless, that's all. Mm. I mean, it's the only thing you can do is that you need to be in a position to be able to read these prices because, I mean, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, but in the last trading period, Anglo American saw the cost of commodity prices drop by 24%. I mean, that's huge.
Yeah, but these people have been in the business, you know, 2000, and, well, in fact, the stock market peaked for mining stocks in 2009-10, and the gold price peaked in 2011. From 2012-13, there's a sinking feeling there, and these people have been asleep.
They always believe in tomorrow, don't they?
Yeah.
This is the point. They're geared up for tomorrow.
They don't do anything unless they're like the NHS. It's like going to an NHS hospital. They don't react until you're dying.
Cynthia Carroll was asleep on the job.
Yeah.
Cutifani's predecessor, definitely asleep on the job. All right, she got rid of Mondi, but now they're going to have to get rid of Akumba, which is another of their companies that doesn't do awfully well. Mm. They're saying they're going to have to sell assets for about $4 billion. I think it'll have to be more.
Yeah.
Isn't it better just to break up into smaller bits? I mean, just to sort of demerge bits, because obviously, you know, these have been too big, these mining companies, too big to succeed, not too big to fail, but too big to succeed.
Yeah, well, the other thing is, I think he made comments today, is he thought the company could succeed on 5,000 employees. I mean, they've got something like
16 different operations.
So a few heads need to roll.
Well, a few heads have to roll. I mean, otherwise, it's just not worthy. I mean, I think Rio's in the best place, and then BHP probably in the second best place.
But is BHP, I mean, isn't the Samarco Dam event going to be on par with the Gulf of Mexico event for BP? I mean, it's just dragged. It's going to drag on and on. There are going to be claims galore. Goodness knows what else they're going to find down there. These things are never as simple as they seem.
No, they're not simple, but the only thing you might say is you'd probably be very grateful that this didn't happen in the United States of America, otherwise you would be having a very serious problem on your hands.
Yes.
I'm not certain there's a natural correlation there, but it always struck me that BHP, and I'm not an expert in mining stocks, has always had a lot of options up in the air, a lot of balls up in the air, various things that they can turn to, you know, and stop doing if they don't necessarily see. But there's no question that the thing that I'm looking at in the course, which we discussed last week, but it's still a worry, are the bank shares. I mean, I think Draghi's comments yesterday, I didn't really buy them, but to say don't worry about the
But that was a bit weird, wasn't it? In fact, it was better if he didn't say anything in a way.
Absolutely,
he actually raised a flag that you think,
things
are that bad, he's got to mention it.
He's damned if he does, damned if he doesn't. If he doesn't say anything, they're going
to... Well, I think he knows.
There'll be concerns in the market, oh God, Draghi's keeping quiet.
In fairness to Draghi, and I think one has to be fair to him, because he is a puppet. He may have a very strong personality, and he may be extremely good at his job, and he may have the greatest intellect in the world, and I'm told he's somewhere near that. But he's not his own master because he does what he's told, what Merkel and the others tell him to do. And the problem is that if he had reacted in 2008 the way that every other country reacted when they got a serious banking crisis on their hands, particularly in the United States and the UK, whether we thought they did it correctly or not, they did something. Now, you feel that European banks are playing catch up. And if you go through what's happened to the Santanders, the BBVAs, the Intesas, the UniCredits, you know, and some of these other, Commerzbank, okay, right, had a 10% or 14% bounce on Friday, but pretty bad news where it's come from. Deutsche Bank, its demise.
Yeah.
A lot of the other Landes banks. I mean, I could go on. But go ahead.
I'm just interested, given the scenario that I mentioned earlier, that Jamie Dimon had made that huge share purchase in JP Morgan shares last week.
Wonderful, yeah.
$26.6 million of his own money, which is probably small change for a guy like him. But and then, of course, his compatriot, Jez Staley, who's now the CEO of Barclays, also stuck his hand in his pocket and bought 6.5 million shares in Barclays last year at £2.33. So, yeah, where's the floor? But where's the valuation? There has to be valuation at some level. The European banks are tainted, of course, we know, but there are still some great picks and some great opportunities within the sector.
Well, they are, but the trouble is with banks at the moment is that what I find very unnerving, I think is the best way, is that at least a third of the assets on a bank's balance sheet in this country are mortgages. Mm. And if we did have a serious drop in the house prices, I mean, that would be excessively damaging. Everybody says you're worrying about nothing. But we have seen, as an asset, the increase in these house prices has been gargantuan by any standards.
Yep.
But I think, you know, it was interesting what Sir John Vickers said yesterday. Now, he held his independent commission on banking. He recommended that banks were ring-fenced. He put forward a pretty draconian idea. The authorities, the Bank of England and the FCA, thanked him very much for his endeavours. And they said, well, we think you're a bit tough, because if we do that, we think you're going to take the incentive out of banks lending when we really need to get the economy going. And yet he's popped his head above the parapet again, saying, I foresee problems. Where do you get the balance right from what I call an academic and an economist who's never got his fingernails dirty at the coalface, and what I call the actual regulators and people who've been at the coalface and done it? I mean, okay, he had Bill Winters on his committee, but the rest of them were either journalists or academics or something. There were Martin Taylor had not been a great success at Barclays, had he? And I'm rather inclined to think that the kind of people that the Bank of England have and the kind of people that are at the major banks in the UK might know what they're talking about, or do you think there's a very serious balance that needs to be had here? It's an interesting question, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very interesting, and I would give you a very abrupt answer, but I think I don't want to be negative at this stage, David.
Why not?
Because
why change the habit of a lifetime?
Because I just think we're on the banking sector, we've got the wrong people running it, and we're heading for a big problem. So there we are. But. Yeah. David Bjerkstein.
Could you be more, just before we wrap up?
No, I think
from a regulatory perspective, we've got the wrong people as regulators running it, or the wrong people in charge?
We have both, everything. I think you can see that from that's why the banking shares are falling. That's why they're going to continue falling. They haven't got a new business model to replace people being mortgaged up to the eyeballs. Okay. And I think a tiny thing goes wrong. There's a Brexit, there's a this, there's a that, there's a crisis in China.
Brexit, ignore that. It's not making any difference at all.
Yeah.
Rubbish. Anyway, you've got time to talk properly to other people.
I will do that. David Bjerk, senior market commentator for Panmure Gordon, thank you very much
Great
for coming
pleasure.
Today.
Thanks,
we'll be back after the break.